The country's supposed to get details of the massive tax overhaul sometime today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Republicans are still in there with their scissors and thread even this morning as some Republican senators push for alterations to the $1.5 trillion tax plan. It was always going to be a tight vote, and now Republican Marco Rubio of Florida is a no unless child tax credits for low-income people are expanded. A few others are on the fence amid crucial issues like when might individual tax cuts expire? Is the top tax bracket really staying at 37%? Let's say good morning to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, whom we consult many a Friday.
Good morning, David.
I mean, I'm looking at my live market screens here. They're telling me this tax plan is still on track for passage probably next week. I'm not seeing big movements.
What's happening is senators are fighting for their own favorite programs. I have a feeling the conference committee anticipated this. Their decision to lower the top rate was something that, of course, the top marginal individual rate was something not in the Senate or House version. So they can reverse that back. It'll free up quite a bit of cash. And I think they did it intentionally in anticipation that there would be holdouts like Rubio.
So you're saying that when we get some details today, the top individual tax rate could pop back up to 39% and change.
Right. And the way they'll likely do it is they'll bring it up to 39% even so that they can at least say they cut it a little bit. That'll free up plenty of cash to pay for the additional child tax credits that Rubio wants to see. And hopefully they can keep others like Susan Collins, Ron Johnson, and Bob Corker in line. Corker may come around. You know, he voted against the original one. He was the only Republican to do so. But he may come around on news that the child tax credit is more generous.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial. Always good to talk to you on a Friday. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you too, David.
There's also a shakeup today at the European plane maker Airbus. Its two top executives are leaving. The BBC's Dominic O'Connell is following this.
Airbus has in recent months warned of turbulent times ahead, and this morning the prediction came true. After a board meeting, the company said Tom Enders, the chief executive, would leave in April 2019, and Fabrice Brégier, in effect the second in command, would go in just 2 months' time. Aerospace experts had expected the clear out as part of the price to be paid to settle a series of fraud investigations against the company. Investigators in Britain, France and Germany are looking into allegations that it paid middlemen to secure aircraft sales. After the management clear out, a deal with prosecutors, which is likely to see the company pay a big fine, seems the probable next step.
Dominic O'Connell at the BBC. As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Now, as we enter the weekend, let's turn to the brunch economy and two fellows who think going to meet friends at a restaurant on an otherwise fine weekend is sucking up too much of this country's gross domestic product. My colleagues, Rico Galliano and Brendan Francis Noonan, are longtime hosts of the Dinner Party Download show. They have a new book that favors inviting people over. It's called Brunch is Hell. Gentlemen, why is it hell? Starting with you, Brendan.
Picture this. You don't eat for 10 hours. You wake up and then you go stand in line in the sun for a couple hours. Then you go inside to a really loud place where they're playing tinny, tinny music. You wait. You spend over $20 on eggs. Then you wait for your check. Is that the path to happiness?
And there's an interesting idea that when you're out at brunch, it's not quite the same thing as orchestrating a dinner party, which is in a sense a gift to your pals. I mean, you're giving them the drink. You're giving them the music and the experience.
Oh, sure. This is the cornerstone of a civilized society. I mean, in our opinion, that's when society became civilized, was when, you know, a caveman named Thog invited in Grunt and, you know, didn't club him over the head.
You know? but you're saying it's much more useful to create social glue, the dinner party, than going out to the restaurant on the weekend.
Exactly. The book seems a little silly, but there is actual social science to back this up. When you give of yourself, you actually release endorphins that make you happier. You actually become more empathetic, as opposed to a restaurant, which is a transactional exchange.
All right. The American Restaurateurs Association is going to have a different view of this. We'll talk to them at some point. All right. Well, help me negotiate this. Brendan.
Yes.
I'm going to invite you over to my house for a dinner party.
Finally.
If I invite you over to my house and you happen to be a fellow with certain dietary restrictions, what's the right response according to your book?
That it's important for me to tell you that when I RSVP, and I will RSVP. That's important. It's a dinner party. It's not just a barbecue. When I RSVP, I'll say, great, David, by the way, I have a gluten allergy. I'm going to bring a gluten-free dish. Is that okay?
And I go, awesome, bring that dish.
This is where you're wrong. Rico, do you want to clue in, David, what he did wrong there?
Yeah, no, as a good host, you then say, no way, I'm totally will have a gluten-free dish on hand for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
but that transaction needs to happen. You need to make them aware, and then they, you know, make sure that they cover you.
Look, there's a certain element of theater involved to all these kind of social occasions. There's another part in the book where we say, how's the food? You're always going to say the food is good because that's just the polite thing to do. The point isn't to have a delicious, perfect meal, which you might want at a restaurant. When someone's in your home, the point is to have some community and some conversation. So, yeah, there's a little bit of theater involved.
Rico, Brendan, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, David.
Rico Galliano and Brendan Francis Newnham of American Public Media's podcast Dinner Party Download, which just did its final edition. Their new baby is this book called Brunch is Hell, How to Save the World by Throwing a Dinner Party. It has great advice about personality types to pair at the party. Next to the inevitable narcissistic blowhard, try putting in the subtle underminer in the adjacent chair. See what happens. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're also from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.